Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and you're kind and you're loving and you allow us to come together and sing to you, sing of your goodness. And now, God, as we open your word, we ask that you would, through your word, speak to us, that your word would be living and powerful as you have promised that it is. You would draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so there is something that, we're not back in 1 John yet. Might be a couple more weeks, no promises. I thought it would be today. It's not, so we'll see. There is a common problem that I wanted to address kind of at the beginning of the year, something that is, I think it's, and we don't talk about it a lot, but, and a lot of times I think that, and maybe this is me projecting, but it's easy for us to go through life feeling that this is me. This is the way I feel. Everybody else who's here smiling and singing and churchy, they don't feel this. I feel this. This is kind of a me thing, but I think it's common for all of us. The problem is that we easily feel many times distant from God, kind of, you know, we sing and there seems to be life, but on the inside a little bit shut down, and maybe not in this moment, but tomorrow, and as we go through the week, distant from God, a little bit shut down on the inside, instead of what we would be seeking for when we draw near to God, and it's kind of the opposite of what the word seems to promise us, and the words that we sing when we sing songs to the Lord. We know what the experience of the Christian life should be, right? Think about, okay, go to John chapter 10, verse 10. Look at the second half of that. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Look what Jesus says. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We should have a connection with God, a deep connection with God. We should feel his presence. We should be full of joy and peace. We should be encouraged. We should be excited. We should be more than conquerors. We should go through life like that. But many times, isn't our experience different? Not always, but many times, isn't it different? Don't we sometimes feel distant from God instead of abundant life? Not death, but not abundant life, doing the things that we know we're supposed to do, sometimes having to force ourselves to, without feeling many times as if it were real. Can you think in your life, your own life, of moments when you feel like that? Maybe you feel like that right now. Maybe you say, yeah, that's going home today. Then it'll start for the rest of the week and I'll kind of feel disconnected. It doesn't feel as real as I know that it should. And isn't it hard to persevere, to continue as a Christian when we don't feel the life and the connection with God that we know is there? We know it's there. We felt it. So what's the solution to that problem? What can we do? What can we do to feel and experience the life that we have in Christ, this real connection with God? How can we experience that every day, not just Sundays, not just some Sundays? How do we experience that throughout our life as we go through this year? Here's what I would put forward today as the, maybe not the only key, but a huge key to that. It is that true life and real connection come from and through the Word of God. True life and connection, feeling alive and connected with God, it comes through the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119, and I don't groan. We're only going to read one section. There's a lot there, so I know we have lunches to get to, but just read with me for a minute. Okay. Look at the life and the connection with the Father that David expresses as he literally gushes about the Word of God and its effect in him. Look at Psalm 119, go to verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause, so people are coming after him, but my heart stands in awe of your words. We felt the fear of God, the presence of God, because of his word, through his word. It made God's presence be real to him, even more real than the very real people that were coming after him. He felt how real God was through his word. Keep going, 162. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I'm happy, I'm rejoicing on the inside. Somebody who just found a great treasure. I find a treasure. It's the word. It's in the word. It's through the word. I'm joyful on the inside. It comes to me through the word of God. 163, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. The word of God is producing this profound love in David. Look at 164. Seven times a day, I praise you for your righteous acts. So he's spontaneously, or maybe it's planned, I don't know. He's breaking out in song to God seven times a day. I know when sometimes I'll mention, you know, I'll say, well, you know, we should sing more, not just on Sundays. Of course we sing on Sundays. We should sing as we're driving home and driving to work and we get up in the morning. We should sing to the Lord as we go through our days. And I say that and I know that's a goal for me. That's not always my reality. David says, I do that. I burst out in praise to the Lord. Why? Because of your word. I look at your word and it makes me just praise you repeatedly. Keep going. 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Then your word protects me. I feel peace because of what you have said and what I've listened to from you. And not because I don't have any problems, but in spite of my problems. Look at verse 166. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. The word of God is producing obedience in his life, love and obedience. 168, we're done with this psalm. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Reading God's word, obeying God's word, connected his life with God, gave him a real connection to the Father. My ways are before you because I'm keeping your law. Look at how God's word for David's experience was the source of life and joy and connection. And we say, yeah, but I read my Bible. I read the Bible, so why don't I feel that? Why don't I feel love and joy and why am I, maybe David was different. Why don't I feel that? I think our problem is, listen, what we do with the word. Here's I think what we do. We use the Bible, not all the time, not all of us, this is a generalization. So if you say, that's not me, okay, no. But it's a lot of us, and a lot of the time we use the Bible to season. We pull out the salt shaker, you know, the pepper mill. The thing with pepper in it, and we shake it. We use it to season. We don't use it to permeate. We don't let it permeate into our lives. We season instead of permeating with it. You know the difference between seasoning and permeating. Obviously, I'm talking about food. A little bit hungry, so we'll just go with me. keep us awake, right? When you're hungry, you're more alert. So you take that beautiful piece of meat out. And if you're a vegetarian, I thought of this as I was driving here. I was like, oh, I got to apologize. If you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry. It's going to be very graphic and it's going to offend you. And I know that. I'm not all joking. I'm very sorry. But it's a really good example for what we're talking about. So go with me. Take out the piece of meat. It's beautiful. You take out the pepper shaker and you put some pepper, put some salt on it, put it in oven, frying pan, whatever however you make it. Comes out beautiful. Tastes good. It has a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of flavor. It's not horrible, much better than if you didn't do anything to it. But then you take that piece of meat, same piece of meat, and this doesn't work on all cuts, right? But you take that piece of meat and you put it in a Ziploc bag. It has to be Ziploc. I'll tell you at the end why. You know why. And you put some lemon in, and then I would put some salt, some pepper, a lot of pepper. I would put some salsa perrin. What's the Worcestershire sauce. I would put some of that in. I put some mustard, some stone ground mustard. That's just the sound hipper than I am. I'd put any kind of mustard in. I would shake it up. Then take the Ziploc bag, and you know how you get all the air out, so it's just the marinade and the meat, and then you put it in the refrigerator, and you wait too long, and you pull it out, and you cook it, and when you bite into that, it's tender, and it's juicy, and you taste all the flavors. It's been impregnated. It's been permeated. That's the word I have to use in Spanish, because it's a different word. It means something, sounds different in English. It's permeated. That's what I mean to say. It's been permeated with the flavors of that marinade. Okay. Here's what I think we do with the Word of God. I think we season a little bit of on our lives. We put a little pepper. We just take a little bit out and we put a little bit on. We, you know, a little bit on Sundays. Read a little bit. Read, you know, preacher man, read a little bit of the Bible to me. I open up my app in the morning, kind of running behind. There's a verse of the day. How convenient. I'll read that. Read my Bible today. I've seasoned a little bit. I've just done a little bit of seasoning. I'm going to start a new plan. It's the new year, so I'll go to YouVersion. YouVersion is wonderful. I'll go to YouVersion. I'm going to pick a plan. Oh, this one has just so much reading. This one's good. There's a video. The guy talks every day. I can just kind of put that on while I'm brushing my teeth. And then there's like three or four verses after that of Bible. So I've, again, read my Bible. We do a little bit of seasoning. We read in the morning. We kind of forget about it until the next morning. We season our life with the Word of God. Just a little bit on top. We don't let it permeate into us. We don't let it get into our lives and overtake us and overwhelm us. And here is the big idea for us today. The Word of God should permeate our life. If we want life, if we want connection with the Father, the Word of God has to permeate our entire beings. Go to Colossians chapter 3. And I know that I'm hitting some verses that are very, very deep and have a lot more context and could be sermons in and of themselves, and we're just hitting them and proof texting them. I'm sorry, read the context in as you go through your devotions this week. But this one, how could you not read this one in this context? Go to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I know it says more after that, but just think about that phrase, dwell, permeate your life, fill you up, become part of who you are. That is, listen, this is the most important thing that we can do. And I know when I say words like that, you immediately think, well, what about this? Well, I know. There's other things that are really important, but just go with me on this. This is the most important thing that you and I can do this year. Everything starts with listening to God. So let's answer a question together and then we'll be done. How do we let the Word of God permeate our lives? How do we let it get into us? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. See, this is a reading from Deuteronomy that shows us what it looks like to have our lives be permeated by the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, we'll read a section and then we'll go back and talk about it a little bit. Deuteronomy 6, 1, now this is the commandment, the statutes, the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land of which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, see how the Word, what he's describing is the Word of God permeating their lives, even to the point, look at verse 8 and 9, to where they're writing it on their house, and they're writing it on things that they're then binding to their bodies. It's part of who they are. That is what the goal is. That's the Word of Christ richly dwelling in us. That's the goal for you and I. So let's go back into this text and ask it, the question of it. Okay, if I want the Word of God to permeate my life, what do I have to do? Well, look at verse 3. Hear, therefore, O Israel, hear. That's what we have to do. That's where it all starts, right? We have to hear the Word of God. We have to listen to him. For you and I, see, they had Moses who was speaking the Word of God to them. For you and I, that's reading the Bible. That's what we have to do. We have to read the Bible. We have to open up the Bible and read it. We don't receive God's word by magic. We have to open it. He's given us his word. We have to open it and read it for it to permeate inside of us and be part of us. We have to do it regularly. We have to do it at least every day, but even throughout the day. It has to be something that we do when we wake up, and then, you know, I got some time in the afternoon, so I'm going to read a little bit. We have to read. We have to read before we don't have to. It's not a legalistic, I have to read three times a day or else I'm not a good Christian. No, it's not that. It's, do you want God's word to permeate inside of you and fill you up and be part of you? Then you have to always be cracking it open and reading it. We have to read. We have to read with an expectation. So praying before we read and saying, not just, it's time to read the Bible, so I'm going to read, but God, would you speak to me? Would you make your word living and powerful as I read it? We have to read. We have to have some kind of system. There's not one size fits all. There's not a one plan, and this is the one that everybody should do all year. But whatever we do, we should have a personal plan that gets us into the word where we're consuming quantities of it. Verses of the day are wonderful, but in order for it to permeate our lives, we have to consume quantities. We have to sit down and read chapters. We have to listen to it. We have to read the word. Keep reading. Go to verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall bind them as a sign, verse 8, on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If the Word of God is going to permeate our lives, we have to guard it in our hearts and make it part of our lives. I don't think today we're called to necessarily write Scripture on the walls, although that's not bad, but I think for you and I, it's much more basic than that. It's like what James would talk about, looking in the mirror and then doing it. It's when we're done reading, say, what is God saying in this text? How easy it is. And again, this might be me confessing and kind of projecting, but maybe you do this too. How easy it is to close the Bible. You're done reading. You're okay. I read a section. I read several chapters. I read enough. I read a good portion of Scripture. Okay. Now it's on to the next. And how easy it is to just go on and not stop and say, what is God saying? What was God saying in that? And to think about it. That's how we start guarding it in our hearts. That's how we start making it be part of us, as opposed to something that just goes from one eye to the other and then back out. It's memorizing it. It's doing whatever it takes for it to get inside of us. Maybe it's memorizing sections of the Scripture. Maybe it's staying every day saying, what is the one verse, that one thing that jumped out at me and I out of all that I read, and I'm going to write that down so that it sticks. That's what I have to do if it's going to stick. I have to write it, like literally write down the words. Hey, just start getting it to stick. What does it have to be for you to get it to stick so that you're thinking about it, so it's in your heart? Now jump back up to verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land in which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all of his statutes and commandments that I've commanded you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, Israel, and be careful to do them. See, in order for the Word of God to permeate our lives, We have to obey it. Well, of course, we have to read it first for it to get in, but then we have to obey it. We have to say not just what did it say, but then when we close the Bible, we should say, okay, what did that say? Think about that. What should I do? What is the application? I didn't think of it, and there probably wouldn't have been time to put it in. But you know the passage in James where he talks about the guy looking in the mirror and then going away, you look at the word and you don't do it, you don't put it into practice. How easy is it for us to read the Bible and say, I've done that, and not only to say, and maybe we say, what did it say? And we kind of analyze the scripture a little bit, but then not say the next logical question, which is, what should I do? What is the application from that for me today? What should I do? How should I respond? Look at verse 7 now. I know we're jumping all over, but it's the same passage, so we can do that. Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, in order for the word of God to permeate our lives. We have to teach them. We have to teach it to our children. We have to read the Bible with our children. It's not, I bring them to Sunday school and that's it. It's every day, if they're living in my home, every day I sit down with them and I read the Bible with them and I explain it to them and we talk about it and I ask them, what is that saying? And what should we do? What's the application for us? That's what we do if it's going to permeate our lives. And for some of us, we don't have children at home, so we read over this, okay, maybe this is grandchildren, I don't know. But for some of us, we have children living with us. And this is directly for us, for it to permeate our lives. We have to read it to our children. And keep reading verse 7. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. I think this is more of a result of letting the word of God permeate us, of being just saturated with it like a good steak marinated in something. It just comes out of us. We talk about it. You know that it's starting to permeate your life when it starts to be impossible to have a conversation where you're not thinking of something from the Bible or where you're not saying something, where it's just part of our vocabulary, where the Bible just finds its way into every conversation, not because we're trying to force it to, just because it's so much a part of us that it just comes out. It should be part of what we talk about. It should be impossible to talk to us about anything, about politics, about Washington or coronavirus or stuff you're going to buy this week or anything without the Word of God finding its way into that conversation. God speaks to us when we read His Word. So we should open up our lives. That's what I get from this passage. We should open up our lives to His Word. Listen, nothing compares to having a life that is permeated with the Word of God. We start imitating Him more. We start knowing what He desires more. We start feeling closer to Him because we're listening to Him and His Word is filled. We fear Him and we obey Him. We feel the life and the connection with our Father more and more as His Word permeates our lives. So, what do we do? What's the application? Listen. If you're not a Christian, you should read your Bible more. We all should. But even more specifically for you, if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, here is the application for you. Here's one more verse. Go to John chapter 1, verse 14. You should surrender yourself to the one who is the Word of God. Look at John 1, 14. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And if you are not a Christian this morning, this is an invitation for you to let Him invade your life. Surrender to Him, repent, and be baptized. Give yourself to Him, and God will fill you. And in this community, when you say, I want that kind of connection with the Father, I want to be His child, I want the Word to become flesh to save me, I want that. Tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. If you're a Christian, for those of us who are Christians, here's the question for us. What are you going to do with the Word of God? How are you going to let the Word of God permeate your life more in this year, in this month, this week, tomorrow? How are you going to let the Word of God permeate and get inside of you? See, for some of us, you need to start to say, every day I'm going to read the Word of God. I'm going to start reading the Bible. I'm going to pick a plan on YouVersion. I'm going to start reading the Bible, and every day I'm going to read chapters of the Bible. I'm going to commit myself to that. I'm going to read. If that's you, start there. Do that. Maybe others of us, we say, yeah, I read, but it's really scattered, and there's just here and there, and I need to commit to, I'm going to read big portions and just let it get inside of me, chapters at a time. Maybe for others of us, it's as I'm reading, I need to memorize. I need to get it in my heart. I need to pick out verses or sections and write them down or say them over and over again and let them dwell in me as I go through my day. For others of us, we say, I've read the Bible, but I'm not really applying it. And so for you, maybe it's saying, every time that I'm done reading every day, I'm going to say, what did that say? And what should I do? What should I do? What's the application from that for me? Whatever it is, here's the question for you and I. What are you going to do to fill your life more with the Word of God? Do that. So, this search for life and connection with God, doesn't it have to end with lifting up the one through whom we can have that life? Which is why now at the end, we remember Jesus together. Go back to the first verse we looked at. Go to John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Without him, without our Savior, we would be condemned to serve the one who destroys us, the one who leads us into destruction for all of eternity. And in Christ, because of his cross, we can have life. We can have abundant life. We can be full of life. And if you're in Christ, you know that. Even though that's not what we feel in every moment, we know that because we have it. So now I'm going to pray. We'll take the bread together. Another brother will pray. We'll take the cup. And as we do that, we are thanking Jesus for the life that he's given us, for the forgiveness of our sins, for his Spirit that fills us, for the life and the connection that we are able to have with him through his Word. And you can make that list longer. You can continue making that list of, here's what I'm thankful for. Here's what the life that I have in Christ means to me. So as we pray, and as you take the bread, take the cup, just in your mind, I invite you to continue thanking your Savior for the life that he's given you. God, thank you. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving your life so that we could be alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.